Blog Talk Radio.
Once in a lifetime does a great author set the stage for a wonderful trip into the minds and lives of their characters. Yvonne Mason doesn't just write books, she crafts memorable experiences. Best-selling true crime fiction author Yvonne Mason will leave you on the edge of your seat and checking behind every corner for the weirdos that only real life can breed. Find her books on Amazon.com and make sure you check out such titles like Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, The Pink Canary, and Silent Scream today.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is Wednesday, and if it is Wednesday at 8 o'clock, it is time for Off the Chain with me, your host, Yvonne Mason. And before we get started, I have to do a shout-out for a author, Andrew Bouchard. He has a book called The Seduction of Anita Sarkeesian, and the way the synopsis read, it's really hysterical. Anita Sarkeesian doesn't want you to read this book, so if you hate Anita, then why not irritate her by purchasing a copy? It's titled under Romance and Funny and a Wild Ride, and it is on Amazon. You guys need to go check this book out, because I know I'm going to get it just because of the synopsis. And if you want to do an advertisement on this show or a shout-out, go to AdvertiseCast and look for Off the Chain for the pricing. It's real, I mean, anybody can afford me. I'm so inexpensive. And if you also want a personal ad done, get in touch with my ad man, Chris Dunham. He's on my friends page. That's who just did the ad that y'all heard. He is absolutely amazing. Now, before we get down to the fun stuff, we have some more business to take care of. I don't know how many of y'all have been following me, but I found a wonderful, wonderful Southern blues band, and they're called the Kersey Brothers. And I have to tell you, if I did not know better, I would swear that those young men were from the Deep South, because their music sounds like Otis Redding, Johnny Lang, Van Morrison, Eric Clapton, Johnny Lee Hooker, and Robert Johnson all rolled into one. Now, those of you who are old school know who I'm talking about. You young ones, go look them up. Because on March the 6th at 8 p.m., we will be doing a two-hour show with the Kersey Brothers. And I am telling you, these boys rock. They are so old school soul blues musicians, they will send chills down your spine. And they have honored me for with a two-hour show. Now, the beauty of this is these boys are from Australia. They are not from the Deep South. And what's even better is Australia is 66% of this show's listening audience. They beat the USA 2-1. So these are some local boys from down under who are going to be on this show. As of today, this show is at 3,612 listeners. I am so proud of this show and everything that it represents. And I am proud that it is because of the guests and the quality of guests that I bring on this show. And with that being said, tonight we have a return guest who, if she will give me the honor, will come back time after time, which is what I like to do with my guests because they get a following on this show. Those of you all who have heard this author before on the show, get ready. If you're drinking or eating, hurry up and finish your food or your drink, because I'm telling you, you won't be able to eat or drink as you listen to this show. You'll be spitting it all over your keyboard. We're that funny together. Author Taylor Dawn, she began writing as an item just to check off of her bucket list. She lives in the southernmost part of Illinois, right on the mighty Mississippi River, which in itself is filled with all kinds of history. She enjoys quiet country life with her husband, son, and all the farm animals that make up the rest of the family. She decided that farm life was just a little too mundane, so she began writing romance and fantasy just to kick it up a bit. So far, it's been good. Before starting her writing career, Taylor entered the field of cosmetology. When she isn't writing, she usually can be found sitting around a table making people laugh. And she does make people laugh. She's always wanted to be a stand-up comic, so I don't know why she doesn't take this show on the road. She loves pulling practical jokes, dresses up in a costume every Halloween, and believes that dancing is the key to a happy life, even if you aren't a good dancer. She also believes that life shouldn't be taken too seriously because we will never get out alive anyway. She and I agree about that. More than anything, she is a kid at heart, and she doesn't believe in bedtimes, eating everything on her plate, or having ice cream only for dessert. Her favorite quote is by Dr. Seuss. Why fit in when you were born to stand out? And Taylor, my darling, I agree with you 100%, and you stand out like a champ. Welcome to my show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me again. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, because so much has been happening. You decided you were bored, so you have knee surgery, and then you keep us up to date with that. And then... There is so many things that have happened with you since we last talked. I mean, it wasn't just the knee surgery. You are the only woman I know besides me that can be sitting still and fall out of a chair.
Oh, I swear. Well, first of all, I know there's a conspiracy. The furniture in my house, they sit around and they're like, hey, we're just going to mess with her today. But in my defense, the shorts I had on were very slick, and the chair is like my leather office rolling chair. So, well, like one little bitty move, and I'm like in the floor.
Well, what were you doing that you fell out of the chair? I mean, I pull up Facebook, and I see this, and I'm going, really, Taylor? I mean, this was after you had bumped your nose or something. I mean, it just went on and on and on. Is your house a conspiracy?
It is, and I swear that somebody needs to childproof my house from myself. Okay, so here's what happened. I've been trapped in my house for 2 weeks because I had knee surgery. So I'm not allowed to go outside, obviously, because there's more opportunities for me to hurt myself. So what I do is I throw open my front door, and there's a storm door there, so at least I can look out. And that night, it happened to be raining. It was dark outside, and I love looking at thunder and lightning. I think it's beautiful. So what happened was this huge flash of lightning hit, and it scared me, so I went to roll the chair backwards to get out of the way because I knew the thunder was coming. I don't know why, but when I did, the chair went flying out from underneath my butt, and I like hit the tile floor in front of the chair so hard it busted it.
Oh my word.
It did. There's a huge crack in it.
But the thing is, you've already had back surgery. Do you have a thing for surgery? You just want to go back and have some more because it was so much fun the first time around?
No, that's the thing. I hate surgery, and I know that a lot of my issues with my body are, like, they're caused by me. It has to be because, and I don't know. I mean, and the crazy thing was I smacked my knee, the one I just had surgery on the recliner that was sitting there, and I think my pride was hurt more than anything because my husband was standing in the living room, and he goes, I don't even want to ask what just happened. He goes, all I seen was a chair fly up in the air. You hit the floor. He said, no sounds were made. You were grasping at the chair, trying to hold on to it. And then he goes, do you need help up?
Was this before or after he'd been over laughing hysterically?
Well, he didn't laugh this time because he knew because of the surgery, like, I could have really hurt myself. But I thought it was a really dumb question. Like, do I need help up? Are you serious right now?
When in doubt,
no, I want to sit here. Yeah, like, no, I want to sit there all day because it pretty much at this point takes a crane to get me out of the floor. So, yeah, it was interesting, to say the least.
Well, and that's not the worst thing you've done. I mean, didn't you write about a Pyrex measuring cup? Now, I just have one question. Did you have a moment of senioritis with that measuring cup?
It was more along the lines of I knew what I was doing was really stupid, but I thought there was a chance that it could be successful. So I just went for it. And what it was I have I had a big bag of ice in the freezer because I have to keep ice on my leg. And so what I did was I had the measuring cup and I was dipping the ice out. And so then you know how the ice, it compacts and it forms this like giant ice cube. Well, I thought it would be a smart idea to just like bang on the outside of the bag with the measuring cup and just break it apart and be good to go. And at first it was working until I hit one time and the measuring cup literally just like exploded in my hand. And yeah, it was stupid. And the dumbest part about it was a piece of glass like shot over into my non-hurt leg and it sliced me on my foot. And then my foot like started just like dripping blood and like streaming blood down on the floor. And I just stood there with like the handle of the measuring cup thinking that was really dumb.
It's not funny, but it is funny because
it's hilarious.
You've known me long enough. You know that I am a very visual person.
Yeah.
And when you're writing this stuff, I'm seeing it, and I'm going, she can't make this stuff up. Neither can I.
No. I mean, like I said, most of my crazy ideas and things that go wrong, I know in the beginning that there is a highly good chance that it's going to end in disaster. But that one tiny little piece of my brain is going, it can work. Just do it. And about 99.9% of the time, it doesn't work. And I end up with Band-Aids all over my body.
What you need to do, what would be funny, Taylor, what would be absolutely hysterically funny is if you wrote a book of your mishaps as comedy skits. Because I'm telling you, you cannot make this stuff up.
No.
Every day it's something else with this child. And I love her dearly. But one of these days I'm afraid I'm going to open up my Facebook page and it's going to say, Taylor Dahl met her demise via a Pyrex cup. I mean...
Yeah, or like a simple tiny steak knife or something. Like
or something. Or,
my end is going to come in a really ignorant way. I just know it.
Well, it gets even funnier because you have some exotic pets at your house that for some reason, and I think it's they try to protect you. God love them. They're trying to tell you just slow down and smell the roses because they adore you so much that they nest in your hair.
Yes.
Tell that
story. Yes. Oh, well, first of all, recently my husband had decided that he was going to get a snake, a ball python, and I was so against this idea because it wasn't that I was terrified of snakes. I just thought they're nasty and I don't want them in my house. What if they get out? They're going to like devour my foot while I'm sleeping. I don't know. Well, so he got a snake and he also got a chameleon because I think chameleons are so cool. I was like, they're just so neat. So, you know, to smooth over his snake purchase, he bought me a chameleon and her name's Karma the chameleon. So she likes to climb up my arm and she will get on top of my head and just because they always search for the highest point wherever they are for safety. So she just like get up there and hang out and just look around. Like she doesn't really do anything. And it was crazy the first time she got up there. I had actually dyed my hair hot pink and she was starting to try to match the color of pink in my hair.
Oh, that.
And so it was really, yeah, it was really cool. But unfortunately, like, she, the only color she turns are, like, green and, like, it's this ugly brown. And I'm so disappointed because, like, I keep walking by her cage every day. I'm like, can you please turn pink? Just once. Just turn pink one time for me. That's all I want.
Who got in the back of your hair?
Who got in the back of my hair? Oh, I had the other night, I think it was, one of our snakes. I was holding her, and she went around my neck and then coiled up around somehow. Like, I always wear a messy bun, like, at home because, like, I don't care. But she somehow got, like, actually in my hair, and she wound herself up so tight that my husband, I had to bend over, and I had to take the hair tie out of my hair. My husband had to, like, pry this snake out of my hair. And I've had I have had a mouse crawl up in there, not like a nasty, like, you know, gross wild mouse. It was like one of our little tame, yeah, one of our babies. So yeah, I've had like pretty much everything up in my hair, and it's like sanctuary for them. They love it.
Well, see, your body is warm, and the hair is like a nest for them. So
yeah,
they feel safe there.
It's my rat's nest. they just love it.
That's why I say, Taylor, you have got to write a book about your adventures, because they are adventure. It's never dull with you.
It's not, and everybody keeps telling me that I need to buy one of those little GoPro cameras and just wear it around, like, 24 hours a day. And they're like, that would be the funniest, like, comedy we've ever seen.
And they're right.
I keep thinking about it, but I'm like, oh, my parents probably would not be proud of me of some of the stuff that comes out of my mouth during the day. I'm like, that could end very badly. I would be disowned.
Every day it's something else that has happened that is hysterical. I mean,
yeah,
granted, falling out of the chair and hitting that tile floor could have ended very, very bad, especially with your back. I mean,
yeah,
that's a given. But now that it's all over with, and you're not going to have to go have more surgery, just the visual of it is funny as all get out. And then playing with the pirate, your brain is saying, don't do this. And, of course, the little devil,
yeah,
on the other side is saying, go ahead. Just go ahead and do it. It'll be all right.
It is. It's like the angel and the devil sitting on my shoulders. And the funny thing is, I post a lot of my crazy little adventures on Facebook. And I sat and thought the other day, I thought, how many people on here think, oh, my God, she has no common sense whatsoever? And it's a crazy thought, because I'm not lacking in the common sense department. I think it's just every now and then sheer stupidity kicks in, and I'm like, let's see how much crap we can mess up today.
But it's so entertaining. I mean,
I know, it is.
Especially when I get up and haven't had coffee yet, and I've been up for 3 nights in a row because I have trouble sleeping, and I pull up Facebook because I'm trying to get my eyeballs open so I can go to work, and the first thing that pops up is, you're not going to believe what I did. And I'm going, oh, heavens. Is she okay?
Yeah.
My first thought is she all right? So I drop down to the bottom to make sure that, no, you didn't make another trip to the emergency room. No, you're not in traction. No, you didn't have to have emergency surgery. Okay, let's read what this girl did, because I need a laugh so I can open my eyeballs and get through this day.
Yeah, there's always something. People look forward to that. They're like, okay, what kind of craziness has she done today? And I have, like, no idea how to find, like, how many people are actually following me on my personal Facebook page, but I'd like to know, like, how many people are following just to see that stupid stuff that I do. It would be interesting to know.
It's entertaining. It is very entertaining. I'm going to tell you, when I was getting ready for tonight's show, I said, yes, we have to talk about all this entertaining stuff even before we talk about your books, because one night I'm going to have you come on the show and co-host with me.
Well, yeah.
Because I think you
That'd be awesome.
A ball. Yeah, you would have a ball being a co-host.
Definitely.
Okay, I'm going to put you down, because as I'm getting into this more and more, some of my more entertaining guests, I want to use them more than just as guests, because I think the more exposure you get, the more we all get, and the more fun we have, and the closer we get. So yeah, I have some ideas for you.
Definitely. Yeah, you know what, girl? You know I'm up for fun anytime. So you just say when and where, and I will be there.
And if you come, if you ever get out of that state up there, north of the Mason-Dixon line, where all the
where all the
Southerners went when they ran out of work in the South, and you come down to Florida, let me know so you can come stay with me, so you can keep me in stitches.
Well, I think, aren't you going to be at the Space Coast author event in June?
I'm supposed to be. It depends on I may have to just send my publisher, because my husband is not doing real well.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry.
I can't leave him. So I'm planning on it, even if I just come for one day and let her do the rest of it. But, yeah, I'm supposed to be there in June. And speaking of, you're going to be in New York and in Atlanta, right?
I'm going to be in Atlanta in August for the Dirty and Sexy author event.
Are you going to New York in June?
No.
I ended up
canceling. Yeah, I ended up canceling the one in New York because I like to drive to the events because I can fit more crap, take more crap with me. So I ended up canceling out, yeah.
Okay, so you're just going to be in Atlanta on August the 12th.
Yeah.
Well, see, you're only nine. If you come to Atlanta, you're only 9 hours from my door.
Well, and what I'm thinking is I can extend my little trip in June and just, like, come hang out with you.
Yeah, you could, because I'm only an hour and a half from Cocoa.
There we go.
I'm an hour and a half south of Cocoa.
Decision made. See, there we go.
See?
We got it.
You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. Now, let's before we talk about your books, because we're going to get to that. I got all your books. But we talk about important, and not that your books aren't important, but things that, they're very important, things that, as authors and as human beings, that we try to project out there in the world. And one of the things that you and I both do is we try to inspire others, and we don't let things define us.
No.
And there was a flood back, I think it was last year when the Mississippi River flooded. Tell our listeners your thoughts when you looked at your home as you were getting ready to leave. What came to you as to what was really important?
You know, first of all, it's really scary. It was in January of 2016. You know, like you said, the river, Mississippi River, had gotten up, and we're literally about a mile from the river in a floodplain. And I know some people are like, well, why do you live in a floodplain? Well, it's family, you know, we're around our family here. So, you know, we saw the community, you know, they would pull in semi-trailers and they started packing up literally the contents of their entire homes, the furniture, the, you know, the silverware. And I stood in the middle of my house. And I was alone one day, and my husband was like, you need to get out anything that you, you know, is important to you, that kind of thing. And I just had a couple of those big Rubbermaid totes, and I started packing pictures away. I did put books in there because some of those books are special to me, you know, and I packed a suitcase with, you know, some clothes, a couple pairs of shoes, some stuff for my son. And I packed those things away in our truck. And I went over to Missouri to where it was safe. And people were like, well, you know, we can get you a semi-trailer to pack up the contents of your entire home. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. And they just didn't understand why. And the thing is that, you know, it was all material possessions. And, yeah, it would have been devastating to lose our home to flooding and the stuff inside. But it can all be replaced because, like I told my husband, we worked really hard to earn what we have. It's not the best of stuff in the whole wide world, but it's ours. But the thing is if we have to work even harder to replace it again, we will do that. Because in my opinion, there's more meaning behind that. I don't put stock in personal belongings. There was a point in my life where I did. And so I'm 36 now, so I just feel like things are just things. They can be replaced if something happens to them. The important thing was that I got out, you know, our special memories. I got my son and myself out. We stayed over in Missouri for a few days in a hotel until we got the all clear to come home because they were evacuating. We were very, very lucky. I think God was looking over our town because the levees never breached. We were all safe around here. Nothing was lost. So, you know, there's a lot of praying going on in January of last year because, you know, we were all pretty much saying, you know, this is it. This, it's going to happen, but it never did.
And the thing is, when we put our life in perspective and understand that we came into life with nothing, we will mm-hmm. go out of life with nothing.
Exactly.
So anything in between is just gravy. And it's yeah. all and think about this too, Taylor. When we go out of this life, everything that we owned will belong to somebody else.
Exactly. It will.
It will. It'll either belong to family or it'll be sold but it will belong to someone else. And that really hit home with me when my grandmother died and we went to clean out her house. And I'm standing there going, everything that is in here is just things.
Mm-hmm.
The memories that I have is what's important.
Yes. Yeah, and people, like I said, they didn't understand why we were just going to leave everything behind. And, you know, we put stuff up higher in the house. You know, there was kind of an estimate of, like, if the levee did breach, where it would, you know, the water level would be and such. If it did, we would have lost everything, but it wasn't important. There are people that put stock in material possessions. And granted, I love my house. I love my furniture and my TVs. But I walked away with two totes with stuff in. They weren't even completely full.
And your child.
I thought this is, yeah, and my child. And I thought this is what is 1,000% important in my life. And I don't for one second regret leaving everything else behind and taking that chance because it wouldn't have mattered. And,
exactly.
You know, there's nothing wrong with people packing their, you know, entire houses up. I'm not trying to say that. And I'm not saying that the ones that did are like super materialistic. I just know how I am, and I know what's right for me. And I made that decision, you know, in my heart. I knew that it was okay. It was going to be okay no matter what.
Because either way, it was just a defining moment in your life.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of knew that I wasn't materialistic anymore, but that really proved it.
It really
showed me that, you know, I can get along without all that crap. As long as I have my son, you know, a few pictures and memories and some clean underpants, I'll be fine.
Because you never know when you're going to be in an accident.
Exactly. You know, it did. I don't know. Like I said, I don't regret it at all. I don't regret leaving everything behind.
Well, how do you inspire others?
In general?
In general, other than making me laugh.
You know, one of the biggest things that I like to do to inspire others is just helping people. It can be anything from opening a door for somebody at the store, or, you know, putting their cart up when, you know, they're at their car and they put their groceries away, whatever. On a bigger scheme of things, you know, lately I've been helping a lot of newbie authors because the book world is so confusing. And when you first start out, like, it's intimidating. You know, you have, like, millions and millions of authors out there. So to jump into it, like, it's really scary. So I've been kind of, you know, coaching some new authors and lending advice, helping them get started with marketing. You know, just because I feel like that's part of my purpose in all of this. It's not just to write books. It's to show that it's okay to help other people. You know, even if one of those authors hits New York Times bestseller, like, I'm not going to feel, you know, any kind of, like, hatred towards them because I haven't gotten there yet, because obviously it's not my time yet. But to put a smile on people's face, you know, and help them out and make them feel a little bit more relieved and less stressed about it, like, that makes me feel good.
And your blessings will come.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't do it because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for, you know, my time. It's going to come. I'm going to help five people, and it'll come back tenfold. Literally, I just straight up enjoy helping people. I'm wired like that. I could be broke as can be, but if I find, you know, a $10 bill in my wallet, I will give it to a homeless person or whatever because I'm wired like that.
And it what it does is it fulfills a need within us, in that, call it a selfish moment of self-gratification. But that's not the way that I mean it. But it is something that we have to do in order to feel fulfilled. We are givers. I am a giver.
Yeah.
And if we don't give, it's like we are not breathing the air.
No, and I think a big part of me, too, is that I hope that I can lead by example. I hope that maybe by helping others and others see that, they'll be willing to help people. Maybe those authors that I'm helping now, you know, 5 years down the road, they will have a newbie author and they will be more apt to help them.
And the wheel goes round and round.
Yeah, because our world, as you know, is so competitive.
Exactly.
It seems like every day there's such this big, like, contest. And I don't think like that. Because the way I think when it comes to my success and my books is, as long as I'm a better person and a better author than I was yesterday, then I've already won the competition.
Exactly. And if we keep, we have to write because we can't not write. And I know that you're like me, the voices in your head won't shut up, and I know your voice is starting up again since your surgery, and it's time because we have more shows to do with you and we need new books. Now, that being said, let's talk about these because I have all of these little blurbs here, and I know that you got contacted by a new publisher, correct?
I did. I was contacted before my surgery. I still have not revealed the publisher because I haven't made a decision. And I try not to let everybody else's opinion of something, you know, sway my decision.
And it should be.
Yeah. I do like a little bit of input from my close friends, but even so, I haven't told them who it is. Kind of kept it a secret. But, yeah,
well,
I was contacted, and it was very flattering. They, I originally thought they just wanted to pick up my book, Loose Ends, which is the first in the Magnolia series. And upon further communication with them, they ended up wanting the entire series, which is not complete yet. So they're willing to wait until I get the whole series complete, which is 5 books. The 4th book will be coming out in March, and the 5th book has already started. So, you know, they were completely willing to wait. But like I said, I haven't made my decision. It's very scary. It really is.
Yeah, because you're like me. You are in control of your destiny. And when you turn those reins over to someone else, it's a breath holder almost.
Yeah, it is.
As of right now, like myself, you control content, you control cover, and you control your marketing. And you have to ask yourself, are you willing to give that up for whatever reason? And I agree with you. That is something that takes a very long, hard look.
It does. And I was with a publisher until May of last year, and some things went bad. They ended up going out of business, and so it was kind of hard to get your books back out of the complete contracts once they were shutting down. So knowing the hassle that I went through, I just want to make sure that I make the right decision for me personally. You know, I honestly have not. Everybody's like, well, have you, you know, thought deep into it, or, you know, what would your decision be if I asked you today? And I'm going to be honest, I don't have a decision either way at this point. I've kind of pushed it to the back of my mind, because the way I see it, I have plenty of time. You know, they're willing to wait for me, which is great. I mean, that tells me that, okay, that's a positive check mark in that column. But the thing is, I just want to write, you know, like, I love connecting and, you know, meeting readers, but I don't know, I've just had so much more inspiration lately that I'm like, just let me write. That's all I want to do right now.
Don't be bothering me. Don't be asking me questions. I don't want to have to think about it, because the voices won't shut up. And speaking of the voices, you have 1, 2, 3, okay. Our Second Chance, there's 3 in that series, right?
Yes.
I explained to the audience about this series.
That series is actually the very first series that I had ever written. Our Second Chance was indie published, gosh, I think it was in 2012, under the title of Come Back to Me. And it is a steamy contemporary romance. When I first published that series, there's 3 there, they were total and utter crap. And I'm going to admit that, because at that point when I first started writing, I didn't know there was a thing as an editor or a proofreader. So, you know, you just write that book and put it out there and you hope it goes well. Well, it didn't go well. You know, I'd gotten these horrible reviews, and people were like, oh, as far as like sex scenes in the books, I will remember this comment for the rest of my life. A reviewer said something like, well, judging by the sex scenes in this book, I don't think the author has ever had sex. So I was like, wow, that is so cruel. You know, but if I pull those paperbacks off the shelf right now, I still have some of them. If I pull those original paperbacks off and I scan through them, I'm like, they were right. You know, so once I was picked up by the publisher that I used to have, the books went through an overhaul, and they essentially became new books with new covers. And, you know, I had an awesome editor, awesome proofreader. And so, you know, those are, you know, part of my backlist, and I'll always keep them out. They're kind of special because they were my first books.
Now, in this series, is it a reoccurring character, or is it different characters?
No, what I like to do in all of my series books, because I happen to love to read it like this, it's not a continuation of each book. It is actually like you have the first book, and for example, the first book, the characters are Emily and Jake. When you go to the second book, it pulls another couple characters from the first book and tells their story. But you still get glimpses of those original characters in the book before. So it still lets you know, like, you know, how, say, Emily and Jake's life is doing, you know, whether she's pregnant or if they're married. I'm not going to, like, do any spoilers, but it kind of gives you an idea, because I love reading series books like that. There's nothing wrong with the continuation of the story. I just like to pull different characters, because even though you have those secondary characters, say, in the first book, you kind of fall in love with those two. And by the end, you're like, well, I want to know their story. So I like to do that.
So they could be read as standalones as well as in the series.
Yeah.
Now, in the third book, you pull out even another character.
Yes. I pull out another character. He actually, his name was Tyler, and he was the brother of Jake in the first book. And Tyler had been overseas in the military. So his story begins, you know, when he comes back home, he gets released from the military. And so you get to see his story too. I had actually considered expanding that series eventually. It won't be something that I do right away. But there is, you know, that opening and that opportunity to expand it someday.
So the three in the series, ladies and gentlemen, the first one is called Our Second Chance. That's the first one. The second one is Left a Chance. And the third one is A Fighting Chance. So the last word in the title is always chance. Now, Saving London, that's the one that there's five in the series that this unnamed publisher is wanting the series, correct?
No, actually, Saving London is a standalone book. It's urban fantasy. It's a clean urban fantasy, which surprised the heck out of my readers, because I'm usually, like, totally into the dirty. Saving London was actually written for my niece Haley. When I first started writing books, she had said she wanted me to write something that she could read, obviously age appropriate. So I felt inspired, and I wrote this big giant book for her, which she absolutely loved. You know, her mom loved it. Saving London was my first bestseller. I do have a second book, like a follow-up book to Saving London. It's not done yet. Like I said, it'll probably be ages down the road before I get that one finished. The series that the publisher is interested in is actually the Magnolia. Like I said, there's going to be five books total in that one. The fourth book is coming out in March. But the first one is called Loose Ends. The second one is Split Ends. The third one is Torn Ends. And the fourth one coming out is Jagged Ends, and then number five is Tangled Ends. So, yeah,
now,
we have the last word on that one is ends, if you didn't catch that.
So, and it's written in the same vein as the Chance series, where you have the original characters, and then you pull characters out of the first books and the second books and give them their own story. Would that be a true statement on this one, too?
Yes, absolutely, and they can all be read as standalones, too. The difference is between the Chances Are series and the Magnolia series is that when I started writing the Magnolia series, I switched from writing in first person to writing in third person. It was kind of one of those things where I wanted to challenge myself, and once I started writing in third person, I felt like it was easier for me, and that I can express more emotions in my books. And we've had really, really good response to it. So, I mean, the people that have read the Magnolia series books, I mean, they just go insane for them. I have people chomping at the bit to get the fourth book. And it's going to be a doozy.
I'm sitting here reading. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just a brief synopsis of Torn Ends. Now, this is the third in the series.
Yes.
Damon Dash Hunter had one thing on his mind, freedom. After being incarcerated for a crime he never meant to commit, Dash vows to lead his life under the radar. The one thing he needed was family, and the only family he had left was his sister Gracie. Upon deciding to relocate from Chicago to Biloxi, Mississippi, to be with his sister, Dash jumps on his Harley and makes the long journey south. His travels are soon interrupted by the likes of a sassy brunette on the side of the road with a flat tire. Offering to help her, Dash finds more than just a spare in the trunk of her car. That's interesting. He can't help but offering his assistance to show her how to properly use those naughty toys stowed away in a car. Brandy Fairfield had a habit of dating guys who were bad for her, even though sometimes bad could be so good. Just as she decides she's ready to find a respectable man, a bad boy she can't seem to resist rolls up and helps her change a flat tire. Everything about him has warning signs, but she once again throws caution to the wind. Soon she learns the truth about the new guy in town. Can she push aside her disbelief and help him clear up his wrongs, or will the threat of his past tear a hole in the very fabric they've woven together? And then it says, follow Dash and Brandy as they continue the Magnolia series by international selling author Taylor Dawn. That even sounds interesting to me, and I don't read romance. Not on my list, but that one sounds very, very interesting.
The thing too about the Magnolia series is that it's not just straight up romance. I decided to add a new element to me in that series, which is suspense. So you still get, you know, hot and steamy, you're happily ever after, but we added the suspense element to it, and it has just like opened my eyes to a whole new genre.
And you're having a blast with it.
I am. I love this series. It is absolutely amazing.
The Perfect Harmony, that's a novella you did, correct?
Yes.
What is that one about?
That one is about, it's a like a new adult age range. It was actually a story that was in an anthology project that I did. So that one's just a short kind of around, I think it's around like 20,000 words. It's kind of a musical, like country music theme. It's just a little romance, and I did expand that one after the anthology project. So it can be bought in paperback and ebook too. But it's just like a really short, quick read. That's all it is.
called a lunch read. Somebody could read it on their lunch hour.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now, you've got one that came out in September of last year, and I don't think we even talked about this one when we had you on the show list, Resorting to Romance, another novella.
Yes, Resorting to Romance is kind of a longer novella. It's 30,000 words of a roundabout, I think. Here's the special thing about that book. I have never published that book, and I use it for giveaways on as far as the ebook goes. But the only way that you can get the paperbacks of Resorting to Romance are at like a live signing event when I do events. I take those books with me, and since it's like a quick read, it's really cool. We sell a ton of them because I like to keep my paperback prices really low. That book at an event for me is only like $5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that live on the east coast of Florida or even on the west coast, because it's only 3 hours across the coast, the June event that Taylor's going to be at that we've been talking about is going to be at COCO at the International Palms, and you'll have to give me the dates again because I don't have my calendar in front of me.
It's a 4-day event, June 1st through the 4th.
And if you've never been to the International Palms in COCO, it is an absolutely amazing hotel. I've been there many, many times, and it's right on the beach. The people there are fantastic. It's a huge, huge resort. There's two swimming pools. There's an outdoor bar. There's an indoor eating area. I mean, you won't want to go home, I'm telling you. It's an amazing, amazing place.
I know. I probably won't want to go home after it. I'm, like, really looking forward to it because I'm like, all right, Florida in June, this is going to be awesome, like a little vacation.
And it's going to be hot as hell, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, you know.
You'll be on the beach. Now, yeah. Believe it or not, my child, and I say that in the most loving manner because I have children your age, so consider yourself one of my children now.
Aww.
I got to save you from yourself, honey. I don't know.
I know you do.
What I want you to do is tell the folks where you can be found, where your books can be found. So, no, y'all cannot leave now. You have to wait till after the show. You cannot go and order your books now. You just got to wait. That's why we always wait till after, towards the end of the show. So tell the folks where you can be found and where your books can be found.
My central hub, you can go to my awesome website. It's TaylorDawnAuthor.com. You can find me on Facebook. Excuse me. I'm also on Twitter. All of my books can be found on Amazon, of course. You can order them in paperback or the ebooks. They are also, some of them are on other distribution channels like Barnes & Noble, Kobo, iTunes. And we are working on getting the rest of the Magnolia series up on those other distribution channels besides Amazon. So maybe we can grab some new readers on little Nook devices and on your iPad, too. So, yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere.
As you should be, because you are an amazing, amazing woman, and I am so honored that you allow me to say my child, and I mean that from the bottom of my southern heart. I have a whole plethora of children by other mothers, and yes. I like including you in that.
Aww. Of course. I will gladly be your daughter.
Thank you. It's fun, ladies and gentlemen, having all these different children in all these different areas, because I am a very loyal adopted mom. And if anybody mm-hmm. tries to hurt Taylor, they have to go through me. And those of you that know me know that people don't like to try to go through me.
She'll send the monkeys after you. Flying monkeys coming at you.
There you go. There you go. Now, you know the drill. We've got 5 minutes left. Believe it or not, this hour, as always, flies by. What would you tell a dreamer?
Wow.
Yeah, it did. What would you tell a dreamer?
Never stop dreaming. You know, there's always going to be bumps in the road. There's always going to be somebody out there that tells you that you can't do what you want to do. If I listened to those people, I wouldn't be where I am today. Granted, I'm not at the top of the ladder yet, but, you know, I don't stop dreaming. I don't let those things get to me. And the biggest thing is to stay positive no matter what happens. Because today might be a horrible day, but tomorrow might be filled with rainbows. So you just have to keep plugging away and just sometimes shut everybody out, because you're worth the success. You're worth that dream. Because if you weren't, you would have never had that dream in the first place.
And would you agree that we are a society of dreamers? If you go all the way back to the Stone Age, it was a dreamer that created fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dreamer that drew all those pictures in the caves. It was a dreamer that put words to papaya. It was
mm-hmm.
a dreamer that built the pyramids. So without dreamers, I don't know where we would be.
Exactly. One of the biggest dreamers, I think, would be, you know, the late Steve Jobs. I mean, you think of he started with Apple. He had a dream. And even though he's gone, that dream lives on. And that iPhone that you hold in your hand and that amazing technology that he helped develop. So, you know, and at one point he was just a little guy. He was just mm-hmm. jotting stuff down on paper. And look now. Look at the change that he's made in our world.
There was a dreamer that brought a note home to his mother from school. And he asked his mother what it said. And she says, "You were one of the brightest children in the class. You will go far." and you should teach him more. Well, years later, this dreamer found the letter in his deceased mother's things, and that's not what the letter said. The letter said, your son will never go anywhere because he's an idiot. That dreamer
wow.
was Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother kept him at home and homeschooled him. Albert Einstein was a genius.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, y'all hear me say this at the end of every show, and I believe it with all of my heart. When you say, I have a dream, but don't say it to me where I can hear you, because I will probably kick you in the ass just to get your attention. And then I will look at you like you've got two heads.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, exactly, we are all here for a purpose. And when we cheat ourselves, and we cheat our children, and we cheat our spouses or significant others of their dreams, we are not only cheating ourselves and them, we are cheating our future. It's just like Taylor said, if Steve Jobs had allowed someone to steal his dream, we wouldn't have the technology we have. So I don't care what your dream is. I don't care if it's the local garbage collector. It is a dream. It is a worthwhile dream. It is honest labor. Never allow anyone to steal your dream without your permission. Because
no.
you cannot get that. You can't get it back. When you're at the end of your days, and it's like Taylor says, material things don't define us. We define us. And if
mm-hmm.
you want to be remembered for the person with a busted dream because Joe Blow said you couldn't do it, that's not much of a legacy to leave. Would you agree, Taylor?
I completely agree.
Don't let the dash be all that's between your birth date and your death date, ladies and gentlemen. Life is very fleeting. Extremely.
Mm-hmm.
It can be gone in a heartbeat. Live your dream. Whatever that dream is, make that. Nothing is impossible. The impossible you can do right now. The improbable might take you a little bit longer, but you can do it. And
yeah.
that is what my brother, who is retarded, and I'm just going to call it like it is. He is retarded. He says that. I can do it. And if he can do it and be successful, then by grannies, those of us who think we're normal, and trust me, none of us are normal. That is so overrated,
no.
right? It's very
exactly.
overrated.
Exactly. Yes.
You can do it. Now, I will not have a show for the rest of the week because I will be out of town. However, I will be back next Wednesday with Miss Annette Love Houghton, and she has a passion. And then on the 17th, ladies and gentlemen, Ian Bush, one of my authors that I have interviewed and will interview again, he has turned the tables on me. This is a Thursday night. On Thursday night at 8 o'clock, he will be interviewing me. God help us all. On
no.
this show. Yes, it's going to be strange. I've done TV shows. I've done radio shows. I have no idea what Ian's up to. So this should be fun because I had an open day. Taylor, thank you, my sweet friend, my sweet child, for giving me an hour of your time.
Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate you letting me come on and talk to you and everybody else.
And we're gonna get you to co-host. So, ladies and
yeah.
gentlemen, we're gonna run out of time. So, love, don't hang up, Taylor. Love each other.
Okay.
Love yourself. Be dreamers. Make those dreams happen. Next Wednesday, 8 o'clock, right here. With Annette Love Houghton. Until then, we say good night. So we should click off. Now we're offline, but anything we say,
okay.
they can hear in archives. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send the link on my page and tag you in it. Pimp It Everywhere. And then I don't know if I'll get – I'm going to try to upload in the morning before I leave to go out of town. If I don't get them uploaded, I'll do it over the weekend and then put the links up and tag you in it on all the podcasts. We are almost to 10,000 listeners.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's
That's amazing. I just – well, and I really appreciate you giving us authors a platform to, you know, tell our story.
Well, do you know that y'all – Yeah, don't be crying. That's not allowed. Don't you tear up. I will give you something to cry for.
No, it just, it means a lot because to me, I don't look at it as just book promo or pimping. You know, it gives you a chance to possibly make an impact.
Whew. Well, a lot of people have been good to me down through the years. My husband is my biggest supporter. He told a friend of ours, I have my office is now my studio. I have it set up with four microphones and four headphones so I can have three people in my studio live. See, when you come down in June, you can come stay with me a couple of days, we'll do a live show and you can be in studio.
We should do that because it's at the – let me hold on. I'm going to go through my calendar here. So it is on – the thing starts on a Thursday. So, yeah, what if I came down early?
Yeah, you could do that, too.
That would be awesome.
Be fun?
We should totally do it. Yes, it would.
Yeah, and then we'll do a special show, in-house studio live, and you can say, I am live, in-house studio. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be for real.
And by then you'll have your other book out. When we talk about your other book and maybe do a reading out of it.
That would be so cool, for real.
All right, put that on your calendar.
Okay. I might write it down.
That would be so much fun. But anywho, back to the podcast. This show is heard in Australia, of course the U.S., the U.K., Canada, and Norway. When I put it up on the podcast, it's heard in Japan, South Africa, Slovenia.
Wow.
Where else? Places I never heard of.
Wow.
So y'all are getting heard all over the world. Literally.
That's amazing. It's amazing. I don't even know what to say to that. I really don't because
just take it and run with it like you stole it.
I know, and it's just to make an impact like that and to, you know, get as far as that you've gotten with it. And I mean, what a blessing. I mean, it really
is a blessing. And I was talking to my girlfriend today, and I was telling her, I said, because I planned this show for 5 years. I always knew I wanted to do it, but the time was never right.
Yeah.
Well, July, the time was right. July of last year, it felt right. Everything just fell into place. And as soon as I put it up, I started getting bookings as fast as I could book them.
Wow.
And bringing y'all back helps y'all because you get a following on the show. People say, oh, yeah, Taylor's going to be on the show. What the hell she done now?
I know, right?
And people... they start following the guests. So that also builds audience listeners. And then when I put the podcast up, that builds even more. There's, let's see, SoundCloud. All right, this is where all the show runs now. iTunes, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, FM.com, SoundCloud, MixCloud, Spreaker, Podcast, and Podcast Garden.
Wow.
So if you pull up Off the Chain with Yvonne Mason or Radio Interview Off the Chain, Taylor Dawn, or Blog Talk Radio Off the Chain, Taylor Dawn, if you pull up any of those things, all this show will come up and all of the podcasts will come up. iTunes will come up, YouTube will come up, FM.com will come up, TuneIn Radio will come up.
so cool.
So it's not just this show where y'all are getting the exposure, and it's not just the podcast. It's all the little tributaries that are running out of the river where y'all are getting all this exposure, too.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud of y'all. I just
come on now.
Because y'all are what make the show.
Well, I mean, for you to give us the opportunity to come on and, you know, talk about real life and stuff, like, that's awesome. Because I'm going to tell you what, the night before my surgery 2 weeks ago, I had another interview with an author. She had a kind of like you do, but not as in-depth kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually like, I was on there for like 2 hours, I think. And it was kind of devastating to me because all she wanted to do was talk negatively about the book industry and kept trying to like bait me into saying like horrible things.
What?
And first of all, like, you know, I said something tonight about my publisher that had shut down. And she was basically wanting me to sit there and bash the people and the owners and stuff like that. And I just, like, I kept leading her away from that negativity. But for 2 hours after I was off the phone with her, I was exhausted because I was constantly having to lead that into something positive, and it wears you out.
Well, this is what you need to do, my sweet child. The next time someone other than your mother, by another mother,
mm-hmm. yeah.
wants to have you on their show, because this, this show, I know you're pumped up, you're excited, the endorphins have kicked in, we've laughed, we've cried, we've had all the emotions, but it's a feel-good sort of thing.
It is.
It's like... somebody told me the other night, we go the full circle, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But the next time that someone wants you to do a radio podcast or an interview, put that caveat in there that you will not bash the industry. It's a tough enough industry for us as it is.
Yeah.
And we fought hard to get where we are.
We have, and you let the one wrong thing slip out of your mouth, and you've got people coming at you with torches and pitchforks.
Exactly.
And I try so hard to stay positive. I mean, you know, there's so much drama in this business.
Oh yeah.
And it was just when I got off the phone, I looked at my husband and I said, I don't want to do that again. I said I felt so uncomfortable. And I even messaged a couple of my author friends that were thinking about doing an interview with this girl, and I told them not to do it. I said,
Send them to me.
Yeah, I said because if you're not as strong as I am as far as, thinking on your feet and trying to stay positive, I was like, she will take you down.
And it's people like that give the rest of us a bad name. Because people, you're gonna do your ABC, and that's not true. Anybody that's listened to this show knows that there's a time and a place for lack of a better word, negativity. My authors,
mm-hmm.
that is not the time and the place. The time and the place with my authors is to have fun, to run full circle, to let them talk
mm-hmm.
about themselves, because. If they talk about them, Johnny Carson taught me a large lesson. I used to watch Johnny Carson all the time when I was younger. And this is
mm-hmm.
what Johnny Carson did. He would bring he would say, okay, the lineup tonight is yada, 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 yada. And he would save the star for the last. So people had to sit through the entire show to watch the star, especially people like Phyllis Diller, Dom DeLuise. This is what I do with my authors. If you notice, I don't talk about your books first. I want people to know about you, and this is what Johnny would do. He would sit down and he'd say, well, tell me what this, I got word that this happened. Tell me that little story. Well, he'd have the audience rolling in the floor. And he would be rolling in the floor because he would get tickled, and you would see the body language of his guest as they relaxed, and it was just a conversation between him and the guest. Then he would say, oh, and by the way, you've got a movie coming out at such and such. And the last 5-8 minutes or so would be about the movie. But by that time, you wanted to go see the movie because this person's so fascinating, you can't wait to go sit in the theater and see their movie.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
that's what I'm hoping I'm projecting on my shows is to draw the listener into my guest so that they can't wait till we get to the part about the book or the movie or the music and they can't wait to go get it.
Yeah, and that's I was actually messaging with an author earlier and she was kind of like all down and stuff about not selling books and, you know, she's actually losing her day job and, you know, she just didn't know what to do and that kind of thing. You know, she's like, I've done all the marketing and I've built my following and all this stuff. And I said, yeah, you've done all that. I said, but do people really know you?
Exactly.
I said, have you opened up and let them know you besides just being an author, besides just writing a book? And she goes, well, I guess not. And I said, exactly.
I said, that's where I started out.
Yeah, that's where I started out. And I still do that because I want people to know me, not just that person that wrote a book. And that's how I bring people into my world. And I told her, I was like, you can get discouraged all you want. I said, but the fact of the matter is you're only hurting yourself. I said, so you need to open up, you need to do interviews or do, you know, takeovers and events and don't make it so structured. I said, you need to just like open up and let them know who you are. So, because if you don't, you're going to fail.
Because, and she will fail because.
Yeah.
People want to know the person behind the book, behind the movie, behind the music, behind the artwork. It makes it personal. And then when, for instance, Tim Dorsey is one of the funniest authors I've ever read in my entire life. The man is fall down funny. I've met Tim Dorsey, and Tim Dorsey is he lets people in. He doesn't just talk about his book. He talks about himself. And it gives you an insight as to why he writes the way he writes. It's hysterical. And that's why I do the show the way that I do. Because, honey, we can't make up the stuff you do.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I want people to know about the klutzy, you know, person that bumbles around through crap because, you know, and I want them to know my struggles. You know, we sit back and we see, you know, these authors or movie stars, whatever, and we're like, they're perfect. They probably have the perfect life. And it doesn't make them very approachable.
Right.
So I've always strived to open up and to be very candid, you know. And that's what, you know, I told this author, I said, you're portraying this perfect individual to people. That you don't go through tough times, that you don't have financial difficulties. I said, now, granted, you don't have to get on there and say, oh, I'm losing my job and be all depressed about it. But you can, however, get on there and almost make a joke out of it, kind of like a comedian does. They use their flaws to write their material.
And that their flaws then become their greatest strengths.
Exactly. It turns into their success. So, you know, sometimes you have to do that. And a lot of authors don't understand that. A lot of authors don't understand that you have to brand yourself. You have to have an author brand.
And it's not your book, your branding. It is you. It is the individual that is being branded. I've preached this since I was 5 years old. My father's heating and air conditioning company was not his brand. My father was his brand. And when people said, oh, I know Robbie Robinson, and that was all it took. give me his number. I've heard of Robbie. Yeah. Give me his number, because my father's word was his bond, and his brand was his word.
Exactly. So when people hear the name Taylor Dawn, first of all, they know that she's approachable. They know that she's going to be super fun. They know that if they do get a hold of her books, they're going to be affordable and they're going to be good books and they're not going to waste their time. And
exactly.
I worked to keep that brand up and that brand going. But, you know, you have these authors and you try to suggest the stuff to them and they're like, oh, I don't think that works for anybody. Well, fine, go. Then you're going to fail.
Go with God.
You know, yeah, good luck with that. Because
let us know how it works out for you.
Yeah, the book business is, there is an equation of things that you have to have that add up to the end result. If you don't have every one of those things in line, then there's a huge chance of failure, and you're doing it to yourself.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because in the back of their mind, they've already decided that they're not going to make it in this world. Now, you and I are both just stubborn enough that we're going to make it come hell or high water or floods. We don't care.
Exactly.
But there are those who have a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they will do everything in their power to destroy it so they can say, see, I told you it wasn't going to work. Well, no, dumbass, it didn't work because you didn't do what you needed to do to make it work.
Yeah.
I do too.
And, you know, I'm all the time, like I said, I do help, you know, newbie authors and even some veteran authors, because they'll come to me and they'll be like, you know, how do you find success? Granted, I'm not USA Today bestselling author yet. I'll get there someday. I really will. But
I don't
want to
be a USA bestselling. Because you know why? Those numbers are skewed. You know how they get those numbers? When they send out books to the brick and mortar stores, they send out a list and they say, "Tell us which books you think are the best sellers."
Mhm.
And they mark on this list, and it's most of the time it's their favorite author.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, that's not the most important thing to me in my career. The most important thing to me is that I have been placed in a position to where I can use what I call my celebrity to make an impact on people's lives.
Exactly.
So it is not about earning a paycheck. It is about inspiring others, about the whole dreaming thing that we talked about. You know, it's about getting to do what I absolutely love to do. And
it's about
the dash. Yeah, and I think if you aren't humble about it, then you're just setting yourself up for failure.
I agree, darling. We got to do a show on that.
Yes.
Okay, I'm putting that in mind. Do a show with, and this will be a show you and I do as a co-host thing on setting oneself up for failure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not the smartest person in the book business. But I have done my research, and I have seen what works and definitely what doesn't work. And when people fail and you sit there and you pick that apart, there's always, like I said, one piece of that equation that they refuse to do.
Uh-huh. And that's to market themselves.
Yeah. You market the author, not the book. Your brand should be a combination of you personally as a person in your everyday life. It should be you, the author, and your books. It's a trifecta. And if you do not marry those three things together, you cannot come up with a successful author brand. There's no way.
It's like trying to run a race with one leg.
Yeah, it is.
Can't do it. It's impossible
to
do.
No, and this would be an excellent topic for an interview or whatever, you know?
Well, I'll set that up. Let's do it in June or July.
Okay.
Sound like a plan to you?
Game. Yeah, I'm totally game for it.
Well, they're going to cut us off here. Now, you know that all that
we
have talked about is going to show up in archives, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
No, it's fine.
Because what happens, it's like the outtakes when you sit at the movie theater and you sit through the credits and then you hear all the good, see all the good stuff after.
Yeah.
This is the good stuff after.
Yeah, perfectly fine with me.
Okay, darling. I love you, my child.
I love you too.
And I will talk to you later, and I will get this up and get you tagged in it. And if I don't get, I'm going to try to get these up before I go out of town if I don't get them up tonight and tag you in them. And then start throwing them out there, darling, and start sending me authors. Send those two women, that tell them to come see me. I'll get them set up. We'll have fun.
Okay. Yep. We'll get it done.
All right, sweetheart. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
And sleep good. Goodbye.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.